Let's begin. We're up to Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav. So we yesterday learned about Baasha. Baasha at this point is the king of Yisrael. Baasha is the third king of Yisrael, the son of Nadav, who is the son of Yoram ben Nevat. And he was the third king of Yisrael. And this was 36 years since the Malchus divided between Yoram ben Nevat and Rechavam. And at this point in time, the Malchus of Yisrael is very weak. And the only reason why it's still standing is because they have the support of Aram, Melech Aram, Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad, Melech Aram, is an ally of the Melech of Yisrael, Baasha. And at this point in time, Asa decides that the time has come where he wants to free himself. There's about to be a civil war. It seems that there's some disagreement or some conflict between the Melech Yehuda and Melech Yisrael, and the Navi Azariah and Oded instructed, not explicitly but between the lines, that he should go to war against the king of Yisrael. There should be war. Asa should go to war against Baasha, and also against Ben-Hadad Melech Aram, and he would be victorious. What happened? We learned yesterday that he also made a very tragic mistake. He did not have enough faith in Hashem that he would be victorious, and instead of going to war and conquering both the kingdom of Aram and the kingdom of Yisrael, he makes a bris with Ben-Hadad Melech Aram. And what does he do? He takes the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, he takes his personal wealth, personal treasures of his palace, and he gives it to Ben-Hadad as a bribe. And he says to Ben-Hadad, I'm giving you this money for you to annul your treaty with Baasha, and instead come to the other side, join the other side, ally, become one of our allies. And not only that, I want you to help us, I want you to fight and wage war against the kingdom of Yisrael, of Baasha. And he listens, he takes the bait, he takes the money, and he changes sides, and he goes to war, and the kingdom of Yisrael is subdued, they are humbled. And at that point in time, Baasha stops building his massive tower, and now Asa sends in the troops to demolish the tower. Let's start with Pasuk Vav. The Asa HaMelech Lokach has called Yehuda. He took all the members of Yehuda. There was no one, Ein Naki. It says in Sefer Melachim we discussed yesterday, there was no one that was free from this service, from this mission of what they're about to do to demolish this tower. Vayisu Esav, they carried away Esavni Haramah, the stones of the Ramah of the tower. Yes, Eitzer, it's wood, Asher Bona Baasha. Vayiv and Bohem, they used this wood, they built them as Geva, Yes HaMitzvah. With this wood, he built the city of Geva and Mitzpah, two different cities, I guess, in the vicinity of Yehuda. Over Esahi, and at that point in time, Bo Hanani Haroeh El Asa Melech Yehuda. At that point in time, he received a visit by Hanani Haroeh, another prophet. We have many prophets mentioned. We have Azariah, Oded, Shemaya, and now we come across a new person called Hanani Haroeh. He was a seer. Okay, so he was the real prophet. El Asa Melech Yehuda, Vayomer Elav, and he now gives him Musa. He basically says to Asa, you have failed the test. Hashem was testing you to see if you would have faith in him, and he would go to war against Aram and against Baasha, as you were instructed to do by Azariyahu and Oded, and you failed, and therefore you're going to suffer the consequences. Because you made this fatal mistake and you relied, you put your support al Melech Aram on the kingdom of Aram, you paid him all the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, you gave him the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash and your personal wealth in order to support you, you did not rely al Hashem Elokecha, al Kain, therefore Nimlat Chel Melech Aram Yadecha, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your power. In other words, you know, you could have been victorious, you could have conquered this mighty nation of Aram, and they never would serve as a problem for Klal Yisrael for the remainder of history. Hallo, and now he reminds them, look back at what happened in the past. Hallo, Hakushim, don't you remember just 1 year ago, in the 35th year of since the division of the Malchus, and which was in your 15th year of your Malchus, did you not go to war against the Kushim and against Gerar? And who was with the Kushim? The Kushim were not alone. The prosecutor tells us for the first time the Kushim had an alliance with other nations. Haloi HaKushim VeHaluvim. Haluvim is the name of a nation. It was a mighty nation at the time. What?
Libya.
The Libyans? The Libyans, okay, VeHaluvim. Hayu L'chayel L'rov. They were a very powerful army, an army, Larov in abundance, Larecha for chariots, Uli for Roshim, and horsemen, Laharbi Ma'od, Uvihi Sho'incha al Hashem, Nisanam Biyadecha. And look back at history. Only 1 year ago, you relied upon Hashem. You were outnumbered. They were much more powerful than you, but you relied upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He saved you. He delivered them in your hands. Ki Hashem, now here you have some very beautiful psukim telling us, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanaga. Ki Hashem, with regard to Hashem, Einav Mishotitos B'chol Ha'aretz. This is an amazing expression. Hashem's eyes roam. Hashem is constantly roaming His eyes, His sight is scanning. Monitoring, like the NSA. Hashem is the ultimate NSA. Reads every email, every telephone call, every cell phone. He knows exactly where you are. Ki Hashem einav mishoytetayis b'chol aretz. Hashem's eyes are roaming the entire earth. L'hischazek im levavam. L'hischazek. Now, this is a very interesting expression. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is described literally as He is strengthened. Hashem is looking for strength. Now, Hashem doesn't need strength. Hashem is the source of all strength. But Kaviyachol is an amazing pasuk. Kaviyachol, from our perspective, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying, I created this world for a purpose. And if this world will, the people of this world will achieve the purpose that I've created them for, I myself, Hashem says, Kaviyachol, gained strength. I have satisfaction that my will has been fulfilled. And that's what it says. L'hischazek. Hashem is coming to strengthen Kaviyachol. It's not to be taken literally, of course, but it means to strengthen Himself im livavam shalem, im livavam shalem, with those people whose hearts are complete. Hashem is seeking some good men out there to be encouraged by, to seek strength and encouragement, a love to those people, a love to them, a love, l'hischazek im levavam sholem. However, I think you put a comma after the word sholem, a love niskalt al zos. To him, but okay, let's read the whole passage. We'll go back. I got a little bit confused here. Let's see. But let the levavam shalem, a love that are complete with Hashem. Okay, comma. Let's put a comma, even though the trump does not indicate that the comma should go there. However, niskalta means you have acted foolishly. Alzos, you have acted foolishly. You have failed. You have failed in this mission. You, the king, also. Ki me'ata yesh imcha milchamos. You have acted foolishly. Hashem was scanning his eyes, were scanning the earth to find some good men that are shalem, to be shalem with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you failed. Hashem was hoping you would be complete and you would have faith in Him and Hashem would deliver the army of Aram in your hands, but you've acted foolishly by sending Aram a bribe and especially giving him the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, which you worked so hard to take back from Kush, because Kush, where did the treasures come? Remember the whole history of the treasures. The treasures were originally in Klal Yisrael's hands. We beat us Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim. We took it with us to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then what happened in the time of Rechavam? Shishak, Melech Mitzrayim, came up and took it away. And then what happened to the treasures, including the Kisei Shlomo? There was a war between Mitzrayim and Kush. Zerach Melech Kush. And Zerach Melech Kush took the treasures away from the Egyptians. But now, years later, also in the 15th year of his Malchus, he went to war against Kush and he took it back. So Hashem gave it back to you. And now you're taking it and giving it away to the king of Aram. You have acted foolishly. Niskalta alzos. Kimiyata, now for the remainder of the history of Klal Yisrael, until Golus, there will be a nation called Aram, and they will always be a thorn in your side. Kimiyata yeshimcha milchamos. So how did he respond to this harsh rebuke? Pasuk Yud, vayichas osa el haroya. He was furious at Roya. That's one important test of greatness. If you can handle Musar, David, that was the difference between David and Shaul. Shaul, when Shmuel gave him Musar, he denied, I did nothing wrong. I did what I was supposed to do. David, immediately when he heard, received Musa from Nasan, what did he say? Chotasi laHashem. So this is a very great sign of greatness, that a person knows how to handle, how to deal with criticism. And Asa, unfortunately, was not able to deal with the criticism, the Musa. Vayichas Asa el haroyeh, vayitneu beis hamapeches. Look what happened. He was put in prison. Mapeches is a chamber. Mapeches, now dungeons in the olden days are now like the American jails. Nice, large, I shouldn't say the Hashem, but it's not. They didn't have, there were no Geneva conventions. A base of jail was called the base of Sanech because it was smaller, the cell was smaller than the size of your body. And you had to bend down. To turn over. You had to bend down in your chamber because the cell that you were confined to was smaller than the height of your body. It was basically a torture cell. And to be turned upside down. He had to bend your body, turn your body to fit inside. He was put in prison, similar to who does this remind us of? Yirmiyah, much later on. Also, we put in the dungeon by the king of Yehuda. Also, Yirmiyah was put in prison for predicting, for writing Eicha. He wrote Sefer in the Megillas Eicha. And he was put in prison because how dare you predict that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, we're going to go to Golis, the king will go to Golis. See here as well, ki vizaf imo, because he was furious at him, al zos for his words of rebuke, vayirat seitz also. Now here's something very frightening. Asa not only took out his anger against the Roya, he took out his anger against his people, against his supporters. Anyone that was a supporter of this person, the Roya, Hanani HaRoya, I guess he had a yeshiva. He had some type of shul. So all the Balabatim in his shul were also tortured. Because if the fact that you support and you give a podium, you give a mokan platform for such a person, so you're also deserving of punishment. Vayiratzeitz. Ratzeitz means to crush. To crush. In this context, it means to torture and to punish. Asa min ha'ombo esahi. At that time. Okay, then Parashat concludes with Hinedivri Asa harishanim v'ho'acharonim. And then if you want to know about all the other accomplishments of Asa, the earlier deeds and the later deeds, Hinam kislevim al Sefer HaMalachim liYehuda liYisrael can be found in the Sefer HaMalachim, the Book of Kings of Yehuda and Yisrael. What is Sefer HaMalachim? So some say that refers to actually it's the Malachim in Sefer Nevi'im, or others say this like Divrei Ksuvim, some type of book. There was some type of other record of the history of the Jewish, the kings of Yehud, and the kings of Yisrael. Okay, let's take a look at the Mitzudas, all these Pesukim, a lot of Pesukim, a lot here to digest. Let's go back to Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudas, David. Pasuk Vav. Okay, there is no Pasuk Vav. We go to Pasuk Zayin. B'Sho'ancha. Hanani gives Musar to Asa, the fact that you relied, that you put your reliance upon Amelech Aram, you sent him a bribe. That was a big mistake. Bavur Hishancha al Kain Nimlat, he escaped. In other words, what do you mean he escaped? Ki hayu mi'usadim lipol biyadecha, because it was meant to be. Had you not sent him a bribe and you had gone out to war against him, it was meant to be that he would have fallen in your hands, he would have been obliterated. And what else? And then the next part of his message was, you should have learned from the history. Only 1 year ago, you went to war against Cush, and you were outnumbered, yet you prevailed, because you relied upon Hashem. So why didn't you just continue to rely upon Hashem, especially when Azariah told you to continue, stay the course, don't change plans. The Haluvim, you went to war against the Kush and the Luvim. Gam himabo im zerach haKushi, the imsha niska lamala. Even though he was not mentioned above, over here the Mitzvah is coming to ask: where do the Luvim? Where do they come from? There's no record the Luvim went to war against Asa. So the answer is that's all the way back. That's back not in the reign of of also that goes back to the time of Rechavam. But now, so therefore, he's coming to make mention that even though it's not mentioned in the past, we learn from over here that indeed, when the Kushim went to war, they hired mercenaries, the Libyans. Lechel Lerov, a very great army. Lechel Lerov, they had an enormous army and many chariots. Pasuk Tes, now comes this beautiful Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his eyes are roaming the world. He's seeking out good people, people that whose hearts are Shalem Elov. Einav mishaytitais ratzalayma. What do those words mean? Mishaytitais mashkiach al kol. Hashem observes everything that exists in the world. Lehis chazek. To supervise. Okay, to supervise. It's a very powerful word. Ratzal mashkiach al hakol lehis chazek. Now I told you a drush. The simple translation is chazek, according to Mitzvot, is lo seis choizek. Hashem grants strength. Hashem is giving strength. Im asher levavam shalem elov, to people whose hearts have complete with Hashem, who have full faith in Hashem, liv toyach bo, to have faith in Hashem. That's the simple translation of lehis chazek. However, it's not the literal translation. And that's why I mentioned to you a drush. I believe I saw this in the article, Rabbi Eisenman's perish on Dibur Hayamim. Lehis chazek means that Hashem seeks himself strength. Hashem himself, kaviyachol, is strengthened when people are loyal to him. Niskalta, therefore you have acted foolishly. Naaseh sechel ba'avur zo. So according to this translation of the Mitzudos, the trop, the Tameh HaMikra really do not fit very well. Because if you look back in Pasuk Tes, Ki Hashem einav mishaytetos kol arachos l'schazek im levavam sholem elov kama. That's where the comma should go. Hashem grants strength. Or as we said, Hashem is strengthened with people whose hearts are shalem elov, period. And then is a new sentence. Niskalta alzos. You have acted foolishly. However, the Tameh HaMikra put the word shalem elov niskalta alzos as one continuous expression, which would then have to have another translation, which I'm not sure what it would mean. Okay, it's not the first time. It's very common that in Nevi'im, especially... So then how you have to say lehis chazek im levavam sholem a love to him niskalta alzos. So who's a love referring to? Who's the subject? A love, I'm not sure. Let's leave it with the way the Mitzudas translates it. Mitzudas puts a break after the word sholem a love, period. Niskalta alzos. You've acted foolishly. It's not very unusual. We know that very often in Ksuvim and even in Nevi'im, the Psukim can be broken up in many ways which are not necessarily consistent with the Tameh HaMikra, the Radak, and the Mitzudas himself occasionally does this, because the Mesorah for the Tameh HaMikra are not as absolute as they are with regard to Chamishei Chumshei Torah. And it's even very interesting of Schwab, Shimon Schwab, and the Shaya, of Schwab and Yosef Yeshaya, many times he has these very beautiful perushim on the psukim which do not fit with the Tameh HaMikra. He has these interesting ways to translate the psukim, and okay, so that's something to take note of. Here's another example that these words seem to be a different, doesn't go, flow well with the Tameh HaMikra. Okay, let's go further. Next words of the Mitzudos. Yesh imcha milchama, and because of what you've acted, Ratzlam kavar muchan milchama sheyilchamu mach, and because of this, kimiyata yesh, because of this, now there are going to be many wars that are going to exist between you and the king of Aram for the remainder of history. Pasuk vid ki vizafi mo. So when Asa heard this Musa, when he was criticized by Hanani, he got angry, and he put him in jail because he was angry at him. Ki hoya imo bikas al asher dibir hadavar hazeh, because he said these harsh words. Now, derech agav, this has nothing to do with dibir hayamim, but because I was preparing to say a shiur on tefillah and moda'ani, and this comes to mind now, and I forgot to tell this to you, so I might as well tell it to you now, is everyone who say moda'ani lefnecha melchai v'kev shachzar debi nishmasi b'chemla kama rabba munasecha. So I saw, I think the Gra says, the Vilna Gaon says, that if you search Tanakh, Vilna Gaon had a mind that was better than any computer. If you search Tanakh, the word chemla means mercy, right? Yeah. Chel means mercy. But there are many words for mercy. There's rachamim, there is chanun, okay, there are many different words, whatever. He says that if you'll study Tanakh, you'll discover the word chemla is only used after anger. Hashem gets angry, and then when the anger subsides, Hashem is filled with mercy. The mercy that comes after the anger subsides is called chemla. A person, you walk in the street, you see a poor, you see a child that's homeless. So you're filled with compassion. There's no anger. The compassion you have when you see, that's rachem. When you have a person that's filled with compassion and there was nothing that came before it, that's called rachamim. But when the person is first angry and then he is subdued, he is appeased, and then he has mercy, that's when the expression chemla comes into place. So that in every night, our neshama goes to Shemayim. And what happens? There's din. That's what happens when we go to Shemayim. Every sleep is 1/60th of death, and after death there is din. There is judgment. Every night there is a minor judgment, and Hashem gets angry because ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yatzta v'lo yechata. Every person to some degree fails during the day, and when that person fails, Hashem gets angry. This kas. So this kas, Hashem should not want to return our neshama to us in the morning. That's what we say in the morning. That your anger has subsided and you have shown mercy by allowing our neshama to return to this earth in the morning, even though in the evening, at night, our neshama was subject to judgment where we failed and Hashem was angry. Yet Hashem's anger subsided, He let our neshama go back. That's why the word chemla is appropriate. The reason why I'm telling you this is because here you have the word kas. It's exactly the word the Gra uses. Chemla comes after kas. Vayichas also el haroi vayidir beis habapechas. Get back to the pasuk yud in the mitzudos ki bezaf imo ki hoy imo bekas ala shari dibe hadav azebo isaki ki gavur boya kas. He was very angry. Veritzets gam nehoom bekas. Veritzets means he crushed. He crushed, he tortured the people as well because of his anger. Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Yisrael. If you want to learn all about the life of Asa, study the book of Malachim, the Malchei Yehuda, the Yisrael. Now, this is a very important point. Why Yisrael? What did Asa have to do with the Melech Yisrael? Asa was the Melech of Yehuda. So simply, you'll tell me that there's a book, and in the book, it's recorded the history of all the kings of Yehuda, the kings of Yisrael. That's where you'll find it. But there's a deeper meaning. The deeper meaning is Yisrael gam b'divrei hayamim shel malchei Yisrael yisupor midivrei Asa. So he's telling you a very interesting secret: is that that Asa had a lot to do with the Malchus of Yisrael. He was a major player. It's not like we think when there's a civil war, there's an iron curtain, there's a wall, and the king of Yehuda has absolutely nothing to do with the kingdom of Yisrael. And the kingdom of Yisrael has nothing to do with the kingdom of Yehuda. There was some blending, there was some merging of the two. That's why it was so tragic. He couldn't succeed in completely conquering the Malchus of Yehuda, of Yisrael. But this pasuk, according to the deeper meaning, deeper insight of the pasuk, is that the king of Yehuda made decisions for the Malchus of Yisrael. He was a decision maker. He sat on the board of all the corporations in the kingdom of Yisrael. Not like happened later on and before, where there was complete separation and they had nothing to do with each other. And that is why the complaint was, if you already had a control, you already had what to do, you were part of their team, why couldn't you succeed in persuading everyone to come back to the true Malchus of Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of David? That's what it means over here in this pasuk. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi going back to Pasik Vav, Rashi Pasik, we had Darmesik, Alkein Zayin, Alkein Nimlat, right? Alkein Nimlat, no, that we already did. Let me just find the Pesukim. That's why, give me a list from the Pasik, Alkein Nimlat, Chel Melech, Hashem, they have escaped. Because you have failed to seize the Malchus, because you have failed to go out to war against them, you bribe them, therefore they escaped. Rashi, Shelo Yecholes Lo, you'll not have any power. Why, Lama? Why will you not have any power any longer over them, lama, shaloi botachta bihakadosh baruch hu. Because you fail to have faith. Rashi spells it out explicitly. You fail to have faith in kadosh baruch hu, ki im botachta bihakadosh baruch hu, ki shen nishmu v'chorsu bris yachat, melech yishol melech haram, olecha, kasher botachta bo kishabo'u olecha, hakushim, lo nimlutu miyodecha. Had you had faith in kadosh baruch hu to go and war against him, when the alliance was made between the Melech Yisrael and Melech Aram. In other words, as we learned before, the king of Aram, only the king of Yisrael, Basha, or Malchus, he only had the power to make this tower called Ramah because he had an alliance with Melech Aram. If you would not have bribed him, but you would have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like you had faith when you made this treaty, when you renewed your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the success of Kush, the war of Kush, then you would have been successful in this new war. He would not have escaped your hands. If you would have gone to war, you would have prevailed upon both of them, Yehuda, Yisrael, and Aram. And also you would not lose the treasure, the national treasure of the Beis HaMikdash in your palace, that you've given him to, that he should know the history with Basha, because you failed this test, you've not failed the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you lost everything. You lost your wealth, the Gamelech Aram, Nimlam Yodecha, and now the king of Aram has escaped your grasp and will always be a problem for Klal Yisrael. So when Asa heard the Musa of Hanani, what did he do? He took Hanani, put him in jail. The base Hamapeches. What's Mapeches? The base has Soihar, like Yosef. She'osui Meleches Mapeches. It's made from Meleches Hamapeches. Belashon Ashes, I'm not sure what that means. Meleches, it's she'osui, crushing labor, maybe means crushing labor. She'osui, it's made from meleches mapeches. I don't know what that means.
Force, gewalt, it's force.
Force, gewalt means force. She'osui, what she'osui mean? She'osui means people there in this prison, they're forced, they do forced labor, maybe. It's a labor camp. Okay, I'm not sure. The Mitzudos David says, look at the Mitzudos of Beis Mapechetz, Mitzudos Tzion. Okay, look at the Mitzudos Tzion. That's what I told you before. Beis Mapechetz, Chum Yiloshim Kippah. The Hibuch Oisios, Humokam Maaser, Kein Kippah, it's a dome. Kippah Mapechetz,
bent over.
When you go in there, you crush. You can't stand in the room. The cell is so small, you have to be bent over. He seems to be saying a different interpretation, Mapechetz of Meleches HaMapechetz. Which, I don't know, he's saying means forced labor. Okay, I'm not sure. Ad lamala. Okay, this goes on. This Dibur Maskil refers to the next pasuk. There's no Dibur Maskil. It really belongs on the next page. Okay, now let's go further. Now we finish up his life pasuk Yibes. We now finish up the lifetime of Asa. Vayechele Asa b'shnas shloishim v'vaseisha l'malchusa. Asa was king for 41 years. Now, when it says here the number 39, it's not to be confused with the number 36 that it said in the beginning of the parak. Because here in this pasuk it says, L'malchuso. There are two ways to look at Asa. There is Asa to be viewed as part of a team, part of three, a trio. Part of Rechavam, his son Aviah, and now Asa. That's one way of looking at one way of looking at Asa, and that's the way he was looked at in the beginning, how he was meant to be in the beginning of Perek Tezayin. Perek Tezayin, it says Vishna Shloshim Vashesh Lemalchus Asa. Does not say Lemalchuso. There it says to the kingdom of Asa, because that kingdom is being described in connection with the kingdom of Rechavam and Aviah. Here, we're going away from that. He failed. He failed in restoring the Malchus of Rechavam to what it should have been. And therefore, we're now just focusing on his private Malchus. His private Malchus was 41 years, and that's what we're calling it here, Lemalchuso, his Malchus. What happened to him in the 39th year? 3 years to go, he got sick. His legs, biraglof, his legs were ill. Ad lamala. So ad lamala can mean many things. Either means that it was exceedingly, he had incredible pain. credible pain in his legs, or it means lamala that it's spread. The pain started in his legs and it spread to his head. Ad lamala cholyo, until it spread, the illness spread all the way up to his head. The gam b'cholyo, and here he's criticized in his illness, he did not take this as a sign from Shemayim. The gam b'cholyo lo dorash es Hashem. Ki b'roifin, instead of seeking out Hashem, he went to doctors. The ultimate doctor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on his madrig, of course, this is his madrig. You know, there's a famous Ramban. The Ramban says that a person has faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need a doctor. All you have to do is be mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, it doesn't always work in our time, such a thing. There's a major trillion-dollar industry of going to doctors.
When you're insurance.
Amcha Yisrael Tshikha Parnassah. Some of the best doctors, of course, are Jews. And but on his madrig, his exalted madrig, which we have no concept of, Vayas Hayosha, how many people in Tanakh does it say about them that they did a Tova Hayosha Beinei Hashem? You can count them on your hands. And Asa is one of them. The first 10 years of his life, Asis HaTov HaYosh B'nei Hashem, so although he slid back a little bit at the end of his lifetime, it's the Sikmah over here are super, super duper magnifying teeny, teeny mon imperfections. And his Madrega, he did not seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the degree that he should have. Instead, he went to doctors. What happened at the end? Vayishkav Asa El HaVaisav, he died. Vayamos B'shnas Arbo'im V'achas L'molcho, he died 41 years into his Malchus. Now here it's very bizarre what it says. We don't have such an elaborate description of a person's funeral and what they did to him at the time of his death, except for Yaakov. Yaakov, they embalmed, mm-hmm. Right? And here it seems to be saying they did the same thing to him, but even more elaborate than Yaakov. Vayikberuhu b'kiv roisav asher karulo b'ir David, which is a very big praise. Does not say this about all of the kings that they were in the ir David. They were buried in the ir David, in the cave that he dug for himself near David. And by the way, it says asher karulo, that he dug for himself. This is a very interesting idea. There's much discussion in among that a person should dig his own grave. You ever hear such a thing? It's a school of... Literally, not figuratively. Not figuratively, literally. Okay, there's a school of... There's such a thing. Is it a school? Not a school that a person in his lifetime should have everything prepared. Person should buy a kever. Person should have everything. Everything should be there in order not to cause, after a person dies, he should not cause his children to be... Everything should be in order. He should not cause his children to get confused. It's a very difficult time. Everything should be set, ready to go. And then there's such a thing, I don't know if it's true, I'm getting Kabbalah, that it's a school of Arichas Yom. The person buys a kever, it's a school of Arichas. Now, what does it mean, a school? It means, of course, a person in a frame of mind. He's Zimaki, the Yom Hamisa, he does tshuva, he lives a life of Yashrus when he knows where he's going. He has a picture in his mind exactly where he's going to be buried. But some of Farshim go even further. They take this idea, it's not just a school of that a person should buy a kever, to actually dig the kever. To dig the kever yourself. And that will make a very powerful impression upon. Now, obviously, today you can't do this. That goes without saying. Okay, we're not dealing over here in the 21st century. We're going back years ago. It's recorded there was such a thing. People in their lifetimes would dig their own graves. I would occasionally go out to the cemetery and take a look and maybe even lie down in the grave to get a sense of what it's going to be like. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of matzevahs that have the name of the person who's still alive. Even have a matzevah, it says...
They put up the matzevah itself.
Forever.
They put up the matzevah, really?
Avadi was being made, yeah. His grave was being made.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got this idea. People jump into it,
really?
Down.
Really?
They took a picture, a selfie also, but there were a lot of people, they stood up, either they made a kabbalah or they did something...
Really? Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, I went recently to Menachem Oval. I'll tell you a couple of stories about this. I went recently to Menachem Oval. Someone. So the person there was the person. I didn't know the nifter. I don't know the person who I was Menachem Oval very well. But I went and he was talking. I was just listening to the conversation. He was saying that it's that 20, 30 years ago, the nifter, he went to Eretz Yisrael to Har HaMenuchos to buy a kever. And he purchased the kever, and the one who sold it to him, the people who were in charge, just said, "I don't know this person. I don't know the father, but the son is a giant. The son is probably like 6'3", maybe even more. And he's broad. He's big. So I assume if this is the son." So I would imagine the father must. I am assuming the father also must have been a giant, a very tall person. That's what it seems. And the moicher, the one who sold him, Noharim Nuchos, it's the real estate there is very tough. It's very tight. It's very tight. And the moicher, it's also very, very been there. It's very hilly. It's not so. Nothing there is too simple. And the moicher said, "I don't know if you're going to fit." This is what he said. The moicher said, "This is the kever, but you know you're a very big person. You're not going to fit." And they were arguing. He says, "No, I'm going to fit. Don't worry. And I want this kever." And the Moichai didn't want to sell it. So he said, "You know what? What are we fighting about? I'll lie down and we'll see if I fit." So he went to the plot and he actually lied down. They didn't dig it open, but he actually lied down on the plot to see if he would fit. He fit, but his wife freaked out. The person was there with his wife, and the wife did not like what he was doing, lying down to see if he actually fits on the plot. Okay, that's one story. There's another story. Where Reisman said this. I always think about this. Reisman said this story in this shir, Navi Shir, Mitzvah Shas, from 1,000 people. He said this story. Reisman's a very holy person, and one year he said one every year he's mekabel upon himself. He's mekabel different things upon himself to improve upon every year. So one year he's mekabel upon himself, he's going to say tachlin the way he should. Most people don't say tachlin the way they should say. He was mekabel that year, he's going to do it the right way. Part of tachlin, falling on your nitzlos apayim, is a person should be maskil the yom hamisa. So Reisman said, this is what he said in Shir, that he has a family plot. His family, they have a whole section in a cemetery for Yibodol, they should live long, be well, but everyone has a plot. And he knows exactly the kever that's designated for him. So he said when he falls tachlon, this is a really spooky story. Really, this spooked me out quite a bit. When he falls tachlon every day that year, he always tried to imagine in his mind his coffin being lowered into his kever. He knows where it is. He visits the cemetery, that plot, often because his family is there. Different members of his family are there. He goes there. He sees where he is. And he imagines that's where he is. And he imagines a coffin being lowered into that makom. That's what he's mechaven when he says nefilas sapai. One day happened, one of his relatives was nifter, and it was a levaya. And they went to the levaya, and he was caught in traffic, and he missed the entourage, the hearse. He was not able to follow behind. They go very quick. They know how to go. And they went there very quickly. Maybe it was late, and he just somehow was delayed, and he could not catch up with them. And they went ahead of him. He came late. It turns out that in the cemetery they made a mistake. The grave diggers, instead of using the relative, they took his grave. They opened up his grave. He comes to the cemetery. Listen to the spooky story. He comes to the cemetery late, and he arrives there as they're lowering the coffin into the grave. And whose grave are they lowering it into?
His.
And this is exactly the image that he conjured up in his mind every day during Tachnon. Isn't that spooky? Every day in Tachlin he has this image, and here in his lifetime he comes and he sees this actually happening. It was a mistake. It was not meant to be his kever. So what's the Musa Haskell? I don't know. It's a spooky thing.
They sold his plot twice.
It's a spooky story. However, that's really what it says here. It says here this idea asher koralo. It says here vayikberu b'kivroisav asher koralo, which he dug for himself. You don't have that expression often in Tanakh. You dig a grave for yourself. The ear David vayashkivu b'mishkov, and now it goes on to say they lied him down in a mishkov, in a bed, I guess in this grave, like a mausoleum it seems. Asher milei b'samim, it was filled with different types of spices. Uzinim. Uzinim is a very strange word. Look at the Mitzudah Sion. Uzinim rotzolaymar minim harbe. All different types, besamim, and all different types, a variety of spices and fragrances and things that are used for dead bodies. Uzinim miru kochim, that produce fragrances. Bimir kachas maase, with expertise, with an expert perfumer. And what else do they do for him? Another new concept which we have not come across yet among the kings. Vayisrifu lo serefa gedoyla ad lema'ot. They made a very big bonfire. Okay, Lag BaOmer. What do you do with Lag BaOmer? This is one of the sources, this is one of the inyanim. What's Lag BaOmer? Big, every year it's getting worse and worse. Every year the fires are getting, it's really out of hand. What?
In a Masechta Avodah Zarah. Yeah. Learning by the Goyish kings.
Yeah. They burn their clothing. That's the simple interpretation. They burn their clothing because no one, it's a sign of honor that no one is allowed to wear the clothing, the articles of the king have to be destroyed. He's so great, no one can use, there's a precedent in the Torah, the Kohen Gadol, the following year, the clothing that he wore when he went Lifnai V'Lifnim cannot be used by another Kohen Gadol. It cannot be used even by the same Kohen Gadol the following year. It cannot be used by the Kohen Hey, the Kohen Gadol, opinion of the Gemara. By the Goyim, they did the part of Avodah Zarah, but there is some Jewish source, if they use a tzaddik, there's no question that Asa was a very great tzaddik. Okay, the psukim here are super magnifying minor imperfections, but what they did was das according to the laws of the Torah, and they burnt for him a sreifa gedola admo, which simply means they burnt his possessions.
Okay, so
the Goyim took it from us. I mean, who came first? The chicken or the egg? The guy who took it from us, and then what they did, unfortunately, what we can't do because it became associated with what the Goyim do. But here it says they made a shrev to Amos. I once believed a thing. That's why when Rashbi on the yard site is like the day of Misa. It's like a reenactment of his death, so to speak. It's so we reenact his death. He died today at the yard site. It's like he died today. And when a great person dies, you make a sreifa gedola ad lema'od. Whatever it means, you can have many interpretations of what the significance of making this sreifa, but it's something that's done on the Yom HaMisa. It's done in honor of the person who dies. That's another Indian that there's a fire that the Gemara says that when the tzaddik dies, it's a special divine fire that can be seen. There's a Maisa with the Arizal. The Arizal, someone in his generation died, a very great person. There's a special divine fire. Yeah, I don't know. But there's a Maisa with the Arizal. When the Arizal, in his generation, there was a very great person who died. I don't know who it was. And the Arizal, he asked the Talmidim, he was looking, this is how you find the Shidduch. Talking about how you go to a Shatran to find you have a daughter, and you want to marry off your daughter, so you want to find a good Bachar. So the Arizal, the next day, the day after the funeral of this very great person, he asked the Talmidim, was any one of the Talmidim here who saw a fire over the kever of the person who died yesterday? If you saw this spiritual fire, that means you're on a very high, exalted spiritual level. He was zoichet to see the fire. And there was one Talmud that said, yes, I saw the fire. And I guess he tested him to prove that he really saw the fire. So he said, Arizal said, I want you to be my Aiden. I want to take you as a son-in-law. That's a test of the Aiden.
So go. Fire by fire.
So he went, so the story goes, he went, the Talmud was so excited, or he got a little too arrogant. That he wanted him as an Aiden, and he told him, tomorrow come with your parents, and we're going to make the Shidduch. And then the next day he comes in, and the Arizal gives one look at him, and he says, "Tsu, Tommy, get out of here." And the way he explained was that the kavod got to him, and he became conceited, and he broke off the shirach. Some kind of bizarre story, but the point of the story is that there's something called a divine fire which comes down to greet the neshama when it leaves this world. To correspond to that divine fire, man makes a fire, man-made fire. Just like on the Mizbeach, there's an Esh Min HaShemayim, and to correspond to the Esh Min HaShemayim, there's a mitzvah to put a fire bidei Adam. When a neshama leaves this world, there's a spiritual fire which comes to be mekabelet. To correspond to that spiritual fire, we make a man-made fire, and that's a deeper meaning of making this Rishifilo Srefa Gedoyla Ad Limma'od. Okay, let's take a look at the words of the Mitzudos for these last few psukim, starting with Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yudbeis Ad Lamala Cholyo. Cholei Raglav Niskabra Va'olsa Ad Lamala Likodkodo. According to the interpretation of the Mitzudos, that the illness began in the feet and then went up from the feet all the way up to his head. Ad Vloidarash, what was the criticism? He did not go to seek out Lehispalel El Hashem. Ki Beroifim, Sam Bitchono Beroifim Levadom. Okay, so the Mitzudos is trying to minimize the sin. Of course you go to a doctor. What's the question? No one's on a madrega where you can just go be, he's saying even Asa, a great king, is not a madrega where you can be mispalel and expect miracles to happen. But on his mind, but at the least, he should not, don't put your faith in the doctor. The doctor is the hishtalus. The faith must be in Hashem. Asher Korolo. Yeah.
I'm trying to picture the scenario. Here's Asa.
Yeah.
He gets lectured by Israel. Told God, you didn't listen. Boom. So he walks away and he gets angry. So, if you think right out in psychological terms, was Asa, he was angry, but he was upset, he was bitter, frustrated. So, what would a normal person do? He'd say, reject God. You know, God just lectured me off, tell me off. I don't. God is rejecting me. There's no point in my continuing my...
No such thing. There's no such thing as being rejected. No such thing. It's Musar. That's what Musar is all about. You learn Musar to improve yourself. You do tshuva. The life is all about making mistakes. That's what it's all about. You make mistakes and you have to pick yourself up and try again. That's
so
the whole purpose of life.
Asa,
he made a mistake. He made a terrible mistake. He put too much faith. He did not have enough faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sent the bribe. He gave away the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash to a Goyisha king. That was a mistake, especially when he had what to learn from. He succeeded in the war against Cush. He was warned very clearly by Azaryahu. He made a new bris with Hashem, built a new Mizbeach. Everything was going according to plan. This was a mistake. And when he realized his mistake, when he was told his mistake, he did not react the right way. David reacted Chotasi LaHashem, and he reacted in a violent way. He got angry, he put the Navi in prison. David didn't take Nasan HaNavi and put him in a prison. David didn't torture all of Nasan HaNavi's supporters. And look what Asa did. Put him in a prison based on Apechas, forced labor. Or he had a, he
was, well, others say, I mean, I read some of the other portion where they say that the Raya did not preface his statements by saying, Hashem told me this. Koyama Hashem.
Instead, it says called the Raya. So the word...
The Gra says, and some others here say,
the question was it a message from Hashem or was it a private message? So you want to be melamed suchus on why Asa treated him in this way. He suspected it was not a divine message, it was a private musar. It's private. Okay, that I saw that idea as well. And that's why we emphasize the word haroya. Haroya means it's subject to my interpretation. There are different forms of prophecy. There's a chazon. What's a chazon? Chazon is a vision. It's nothing personal. I have no negius. I am just telling you what I see. A roya has a connotation. I'm also part of this. I have my own spin, my own agenda. And it's not only me. I see things. I see things, and I'm going to interpret it. And I'm going to let you know my interpretation of what I see. Therefore, Asa felt that what you're seeing is wrong. You have your own agenda. Your own agenda is not in the best interest of Klal Yisrael, not in my best interest. It's for your own advantage, your own gain. And therefore, I suspect there's something wrong. And therefore, I'm justified in putting you in prison. On the other hand, he was right. The Chazal seemed to indicate that he wasn't all wrong, Hanani. Hanani, even if it was not purely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hanani's take on what was happening was correct. I mean, today we don't have prophets, we don't have Ruach HaKodesh, but there are people that are giving us Musar, and most of the time, hopefully they're right. The Musar they give us, their understanding is correct. So he was wrong in the way he treated Hanani.
If he had, did the Chachamim say, if he had gone back to Hashem, at this point he's ill, Hashem would have accepted and would have cured him?
Of course.
They don't speculate on that.
They don't speculate. You don't know. We don't know what happens when a person is ill. Sometimes we know from our own experience, there are people that are ill, that are healed, and there are people who are ill that are not healed. So that's not the question. Is not the result. The question is, did they rely upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu? That's that. The issue is not the result. The question is, did they? He did not come and be mispallel to Hashem in his illness. If he would have been mispallel, would Hashem have answered him? We have no idea. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. But that's not the issue. The issue is he did not take, did not learn from his mistakes.
Is it a pretty place it says about
Sreifa? In Divrei Hayamim, in Malachim, I think it says it by Shlomo, if I'm not mistaken.
I want to throw something out.
Sure.
His feet were what's the word, supplicating?
What is it?
His feet, he had a problem with his feet.
Yeah.
Farshim say that it means that he got up to, it was...
It went ad l'mala.
So either he had diabetes or he had ulcers, or he must really, it smelled the skin.
Okay.
So when they buried him, they put on a lot of psalm
and to take away the odor.
They also burned all his old clothes
because they were infected. They were infected. Okay, so you want to say derech pshat is the reason why they needed psalm was because the odor was beyond, was impossible, and the clothing were infected with something. You know, you remind me. You were saying something which sounds very familiar, but I don't. Maybe it says this in Malachim, but I don't recall it says this there in Malachim. But maybe it's sentenced by a different king. Okay, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And the basic mefarshim that I've seen, they don't say this. But he's saying something which makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's take a look here one more time. Words of Mesudos. Asher karolo chofar le'atzmo b'chayof. The Mesudos says that he actually in his own lifetime dug his own grave. Merchokim b'merkachas ma'aseh. Or a variety of all different types of spices, meurvavim b'maseh mirkachas, mixed in actions of fragrances. Ratzal loymar beirvuv b'samim maaseh mirkach. Expertise in this matter. Vayishrifu lo mitaseh letashmisha ki kein haderech listreif al hamolachim k'masha amar uvemishrifos avoisecha hamolachim. Okay, that was the derech. Derech, in a very simple interpretation, is it was a kovoid to burn the property of the king, as if to say no one is worthy of ever using these possessions again. Obviously, there's an inyan kabbalah, and maybe very simply, like you said, there's an inyan. Rabbi Meir said there are inyanim of just practical inyanim of health reasons why all of these things have to be destroyed. Yeah, a person who dies.
There's a minyan by a bailus, you don't wear the shoes.
That's kabbalah. But that's purely kabbalah. The shoes of an oval of a dead person should not be able to be thrown in the garbage. It's very, you know, it's a very big expensive. You have avelim. I know one son called up my father, and he said that this person died, and he was a very wealthy person. He left over a lot of shoes.
Was that Mr. Marcus?
No, a lot of shoes there. And my father said, you have to throw it in the garbage. And there, my father said, you could hear on the telephone, like their jaw dropped.
Right.
What? You know how much they're worth, the shoes? hundreds of pairs of expensive shoes? And the garbage? You can sell in auction? Who knows how much you can make? I don't know what the end was. Maybe there are exceptions when it's very valuable, but generally a person has a few pairs of shoes, so what's the big deal? I don't know. So they're generally there. Alpi Kabbalah, that's the only thing that really has to be thrown in the garbage. Shoes. Clothing, not. Clothing can be given away to a gemach. But shoes is already different. I don't know if you have 100 pairs of shoes, designer shoes, you'll sell, you'll have a lot of money, maybe it's different. Let's go to let's take a look at the Rashi, Pasik, Vizanim, different types of spices. We have a Rashi before that. Vizanim, that's what Pasik Gidal. We had a different sminim. Look at the Mitsudos Tzion. Vizanim, that's a very usual word. Ratzalaymar, minim harbi, many different types of spices. It goes together. They buried him in the grave, and they had in the grave all these spices. The pasuk yidal zanim mine b'sam heim v'abesam hayu mirukachim b'mirkachas maase rokeach maase rokeach mirkachas. Like about the keteres, he had the same expression by the keteres. It's a maase rokeach, the work of an expert. A person, expert who deals with fragrances. V'zeh pishrayin miruchokim b'maseh rokeach. V'yisrifu lo shrev gedoy lo srafu lo b'sabim toivim le'ofer. So here, according to the Rashi, it's a little bit different what the Mitzvah says. They burnt many b'samim le'efer into ash. V'oso efer yezoiru olof. Okay, hold up shot. The shrev gedoy was to produce fragrance. And that ash of fragrance, they spread on his body. The yesh b'farshu k'mo shofim al ha'malachim. Amash shofim, what do you burn? You burn their clothing, they burn his kelim. The oikrin al ha'malachim, they do different things to the property of the king to show that no one is worthy of using their possessions. Pasik, okay, that goes on to the next parak. Let's begin just a little bit, 2 minutes, the next parak. Vayimloch now comes to a new... Now, before you go, let me just talk about the legs. Now, there is discussion among the commentaries the significance of why specifically his legs were ill and the legs spread to his head. There's a very beautiful medrash, a mashal from the Chizem in Lublin, if I'm not mistaken, about two people. One person who's blind and one person who's lame. A mashal to the neshama and the guf. What's the mashal? There was a king, or there was a king, and the king said to his two servants, "Wait, what happened?" There was a king, and the king had a garden. And one day, the garden, all the fruits of the garden were stolen. Someone plundered the garden, and the only people that were in the vicinity were two people. One was blind, and one was lame. So the king said, "Who took my fruit?" So the blind man says, "It wasn't me. I can't see anything." The guy, the one that was lame, said, "It wasn't me. I can't move." So the king said, "Put the lame person on top of the blind person, and now let me judge you together." In other words, the person who is blind can move, but the person who is lame can see, and together, you two together can pull it off, this heist. You can go into the garden, you can steal the fruits of my garden. So what's the mashal? The Chazan Lublin says the mashal is that the person who is blind represents the guf. The guf can move, but it can't see. The neshama is the one who's lame. The neshama sees everything, but it can't do anything. It's paralyzed. It's stuck. How? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in this world? He takes the neshama and he puts the neshama in a guf. Every person is really the combination of two people: one who's lame and one who is blind. So here, that's the mashal. That's the mafashal. I want to tie this a mashal and tie this into to Asa. At the end of his life, his legs became ill. His failure was the guf. He had a very holy neshama. Asa was a very, very great tzaddik. For the first 10 years of his life, Yasi Satove Hayasha. Why? Because during those 10 years, he didn't have to do anything. What's the tafkid of a melech? A melech is all gashmias. There are two leaders in Klal Yisrael. There's the Kohen Gadol, and there's the Melech. The Kohen Gadol is in charge of the Kohelel. He's in charge of spiritual matters. He takes care. The Melech is involved in world affairs. You have to build bridges. You have to make sure people have what to eat. People have what to drink. The streets are clean. There are wars that have to be fought. You have to show the world that you're in charge. The Tavkid of a Melech is more or less gashmias. But of course, the gashmias has to be done according to the derech haTorah, according to the piskei halacha, the talmidei chacham, according to the decisions of the kohen gadol. This was his failure. Asa had a very holy neshama, the part of his body that represented the one that's lame, meaning the neshama, the one that's lame. That was very good. But the part of the body that represented the one that moves, the blind man, the one that's able to move but just can't see, that was the problem. He failed in being able to synthesize, to taking the spirit, his spirituality, and translating that into the gashmias and going forward and accomplishing in Yoni Gashmi. So that's why specifically at the end of his life, it was his feet, the feet which carry the neshama, failed to do what the neshama saw to be true. Other kings, you don't have this. Other kings, there was a failure in the neshama. They contaminated their neshama. They took their eyes and they blinded their eyes. He didn't do that. His eyes were perfect. The neshama was perfect. He failed in this respect of letting it overflow into the guf and going forward and accomplishing what he knew the neshama told him to do. That's why the illness started in his feet, And if you don't take care of it, it could be corrupted at all the way until it's spread al lamala cholya. That's a little bit of
a remez to
the neshama. So the end of his
was sweet.
So we want to say that. So when he died, they put Alam Sam, then the neshama was still sweet. It was only a chasarn in the guf, in the legs. Okay, so that's one approach I saw in the Mishnah says Zav, why there's so much emphasis. You don't really have this. But every king, it tells you that his legs were not well, and he went to doctors. So that's a little bit of a drush. Also, as we mentioned yesterday, another reason why he mentions that he was ill, the illness was a direct punishment for what he did to the Talmidei Chachamim. The Talmidei, he went and he drafted the Talmidei Chachamim for things that they were not supposed to be drafted for. There was a Melchemes Rishus to go fight against the Malchus of Yisrael. That was not a legitimate reason to take away the Talmidei Chachamim from their learning, and also to draft them to participate in the public project of building these two cities after Basha fled and they took and demolished the tower as a punishment. For drafting Talmidei Chacham that was Shaloi Kedin, his legs were stricken with an illness. Alright, that concludes Perek Tes Zayin. We'll leave it here. We're up to Perek Yud Zayin, a new sugya for Parakim dealing with Yehoshaphat. It's a big sugya. Yehoshaphat, the next four Parakim, is a major sugya in Divrei HaYamim.